first time, you're going to see it. You know, when you're in the courtroom and they say, Judge so-and-so is in the house, everybody stands. Well, this morning, God is in his house. Come on, say amen. We ought to stand, but we're going to see it in the Word of God. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. And the Word of God says, beginning at verse 1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattithiah and Shema, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, and on his left hand, Pedaiah, and Mishael, and Malchiah, and Hashem, and Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people did what? They stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, what?
Amen.
And
Amen.
With lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Amen. The message today went to say, amen. Amen. Father God, we bless your name. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Over the last several weeks, we have been on a journey together, a journey to understand something about how God leads his people into purpose. Come on, say amen. We've seen God use a man by the name of Nehemiah to rebuild a wall that was torn down. Against all odds and opposition and obstacles, Nehemiah and his people prevailed. And after 52 days, the wall was complete. Come on, say amen. Nehemiah chapter 6 records that. Now, we've been saying all along that really this story is not just about rebuilding a wall, putting stone bricks on top of each other. Because if that was all it was about, then in Nehemiah chapter 6, the story, the book of Nehemiah would have ended. Because in Nehemiah chapter 6, the Bible says, so the wall was completed in 52 days. Well, end of story. But there's 7 other chapters after that. 13 chapters altogether. So we understand from that this is more than just about a wall. Really, what this is all about is about how God wants to rebuild lives. He wants to rebuild families. He wants to rebuild communities. He wants to rebuild churches. God wants to rebuild your life and my life today. He wants to rebuild our futures, and he can use the rubble of our ruined dreams, our tarnished aspirations, our worst disappointments, and make something worthy out of it, if you and I are willing today to come into agreement with him. Our God is able. Come on, say amen. And that's what the word amen is all about. It's about coming into agreement with God. The word literally is translated, it is so, or let it be so, or so let it be. You're saying, I agree with what I heard or with what has been said. Back in the day, Andre Crouch wrote that song, God Has Spoken. Let the church say amen. Now, the truth is that, especially in many churches, especially in black churches, we just kind of throw the word around in service. We have this call and response. Amen? Amen. We use amen today to encourage the preacher. You know how we do. Amen, preacher. Preach it, preacher. And that's all right. The preacher needs some encouragement every now and again. Amen? Hallelujah. And then and then little Taisha will come up here and she will sing, and we get excited about little Taisha, even though little Taisha may be hitting every note but the one she's supposed to be singing on. We say, amen, child, sing, child. Come on now. You know how we do, you know how we do. No, I don't have a problem with encouraging folk. Come on, say amen. Especially when you stand up front to minister in the presence of the Lord and before his people. That's not an easy thing to do. What do you all say? But I do get a little concerned that we understand what we mean when we say amen. It is a word of agreement. Now the question is, how can you agree to something if you don't comprehend or understand what you're agreeing to? That's a problem in our society today. Too many people sign on the dotted line, and you haven't read the fine print. You don't know what you're signing on to. And later on, you find out that there were things in that document that were against you and in favor of the person who wrote up the document. Are y'all with me today? But now you can't get out of it because you already signed it. You put your John Hancock on that piece of paper, and it's legal binding. Well, what you and I've got to understand today is that when you're sitting up in the house of God and you say amen, it is binding, spiritually binding. What you're saying when you say amen is, God, I'm willing to go into covenant with you. I'm in agreement, not with the preacher, but with God. Are y'all with me today? It says, I comprehend, I understand what is being said. So before you come into agreement, there must be comprehension. There must be what, everybody? Comprehension. That is understanding. The Bible says, watch this now. When the people heard the reading of the law, they said, amen, amen. But the amen comes because of an understanding of what was being read. If you look at verse 2, the Bible says, you got to watch this now. This is very important. Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women, and all that could hear with what? And upon the first day, look at verse 3, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and women, and those that could what? Understand. Look again at verse 8. It's all through this chapter. So they read in the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to do what? Understand the reading. Do you get it? So before you say amen, you need to have some comprehension. Somebody say comprehension. You need to understand what is being read, what is being spoken in your hearing. You got to know what you're agreeing to. A lot of folk go to church and they say, oh, preacher preached today. But what did he say? I don't know, child, but he sure preached. There ought to be some comprehension. Come on, say amen. I'm not going to be long this morning. First of all, comprehension. Amen. When to say amen. Secondly, there ought to be some conviction. There ought to be some what, everybody? Conviction. Notice the people's response to the reading of the word. The Bible says in verse 9 that all the people wept when they heard the word. The same thing happened here as happened thousands of years later on the day of Pentecost, when the preaching of the word was done by Peter and the apostles. The Bible says, men of God, they said, what shall we do? There was conviction. Somebody say conviction. First there was comprehension, now there's conviction. They had a sense that they were guilty before God, and their hearts broke, and they started weeping. Weeping because now they had come into an understanding of what the Word of God required of them, and they realized that they had not been following that Word. Are y'all listening to me today? See, if you're not following the Word, then you're not following God, because it's God's Word. Amen? And if you're not following God, it means you're lost. You ever been in a situation where you were following somebody? I know I've been in this situation before. Maybe it was night, and you had the outline of their lights etched in your mind. You're trying to follow them, and somewhere along the way, somebody got between you and them. Huh? And finally, after a while, you got back in position, only to discover miles down the road that you were following the wrong car. It looked like your friend's car, but it wasn't. And now you're lost. Huh? There are a whole lot of people today who sincerely think they're following God, but don't realize that somebody has gotten in between them and the Lord. That somebody is the devil himself. And let me tell you, church, he will lead you way off course. You'll end up somewhere where you never planned to be. You'll waste a whole lot of time. And all because you allow other folk to get between you and the Lord. You allow some man, some woman to get in between you and Jesus. Just because it looks like God doesn't mean it is God. You better check who you're following by the word of God. If it doesn't line up with the word, young folk, you following somebody, you're not following God. That's the only way to tell if you're on the right track. You better get back in the word. I'm talking about that this story is not about rebuilding a wall. It's about rebuilding lives. And if you've gotten off track and you want to get back on track, you need to get back in the word. That's where God begins to rebuild the lives of his people. It's not about bricks upon bricks. It's about the word upon the word. It's about precept upon precept. It's about principle upon principle. It's about verse upon verse, line upon line. He begins with the word. When the word of God is preached and your conscience convicts you, it's time to check your life to see whether or not you're in the faith. Now, you might have been walking with the Lord for a long time, but every now and again, we all got to check our faith to see whether or not we're in the faith. Amen? Whether or not we're really following him. Watch this now. See, these folk are so convicted, they broke down in tears. Paul says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so sometimes when the preacher preaches, you get cut, just say, ouch. The word cuts, amen? It will cut to the quick, as the old folk used to say. And if you don't harden your heart, if you don't stiffen your neck, that word will also lead you to the next stage, and that is conversion. You got comprehension. I'm talking about when to say amen. You got conviction. When I'm convicted. Now, some folks say amen because they want somebody else to hear because I think this word is for them. No. It's for you. I say amen when I'm convicted. Not to try to convict somebody else. Come on, say amen. And then the third thing is conversion. That means a change. Somebody say change. See, it's one thing to be convicted that you're in the wrong, but it's another thing to make things right or go in a different direction. When you finally realize that you're not following the right person, what do? Well, you get on the phone. You get on the phone, right? And you say, hey, man, you know, I thought I was following your car, but I'm in some place. I don't know where I'm at. Can you help me? And they say, well, you need to get off the ramp at the next exit. And you need to turn around. You need to make a U-turn. You need to go in a different direction. Are y'all with me? See, that's conversion. You've got to make a change. You got to make a U-turn on the highway of life. You got to bring your life in alignment, in agreement with the word of God. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. You got to see this. This ought to happen every time we come into the house of God and we hear the word of God preach. We ought not leave the same way we came. You got to look at this. You got to see this for yourself. Look at verse 13 in chapter 8. The Bible says, and on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests, the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand, here it is again, the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. They were in the seventh month. And that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount, fetch olive branches, pine branches, and so on, to make booths as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, everyone upon the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God. And look at verse 17. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. Watch this now. Here it is. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. What is trying to tell us? Stuff that they were supposed to be doing, they had not been doing. For many years, they weren't doing what the word of God commanded them to do. But now came comprehension, conviction. And with conviction, there's conversion. Conversion means I stop doing what I've been doing and I adopt a new way. Conversion means that I'm willing to get off the road I'm on and make a U-turn and get on the road that leads to life eternal. For the word of God says the broad is the road and that leads to destruction. And many are traveling on that road. You can't follow the crowd. Crowd will always mislead you. But it goes on to say the straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that's traveling down that road, young person. When you and I comprehend the word of God, when we're convicted by the word of God, and we get converted by the word of God, meaning that you're willing and ready to do what the word says, then amen is quite appropriate. Because now you're in agreement. Now you're in alignment. When Ezra described, read the word of God, it says that the people lifted their hands and they said, amen, amen. See, the fact that they said it twice means, hey, we're ready now. We're certain about this. We're sure about this. Amen, amen. They bowed their heads with their faces to the ground and they worshiped the Lord. Amen means you've come to the place in your life where you're willing to submit and surrender to Him. You're ready to give Him worship. You've come to the place where you're ready to acknowledge Him not only as Savior, but also as Lord of your life. You've come to the place where you're tired of running things in your life, and you're willing and ready to let Him run things in your life. You're ready to get out of the driver's seat and get in the passenger side and let Jesus have the wheel. Somebody today is ready to surrender full control to Jesus. Somebody today is tired and you just want to say, Jesus, have your way. Jesus, have the wheel. You're ready to say amen. Let it be so. Jesus, whatever you want me to be, I'm going to be. Wherever you want me to go, I'm going to go. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Just have your way, Jesus. Do with me as you want today. John the Revelator calls Jesus the Amen. Amen, the faithful and true witness. He's the one who can make it happen. He's the one who can make it so. He's the only one who can let it be in your life if you just let Him have control. All you got to do today is come into agreement. The pianist come, I told you, I'm not going to be long today. Just come on and play something now. You just got to agree with Him today that you're a sinner. Agree that He is our Savior. Agree that you don't know what you're doing, but let Him be Lord of your life. Agree that He knows what's best for you. That means that before you make a decision, you got to talk to Him about it. You got to consult Him. You got to spend some time on your knees. You got to get into His word and find out what it is, Lord, that you want for me, because you're the Amen. You're the one who can make it so. Somebody today just wants to get an agreement. Just wants to say, man, aren't you tired of driving and running off, running into stuff? I spend many hours on the road driving. What I've discovered is that after you've been driving for a while, your eyes start getting heavy. And you start veering all over the road, you know, and if you have a driving partner, like my wife, you know, she'll say, honey, you're getting sleepy. Let me take the wheel.
And if you're a man like me, you say, no, baby, I got it. Yeah, I know it resonates with a lot of men up in here. Come on, say amen. Tell the truth and shame the devil. But after a while, you know, you keep veering and veering all over the place. Either you're going to give up that wheel, or you're going to end up in the ditch, or worse yet, in an accident where you could hurt somebody and hurt yourself. Somebody today has been veering all over the place. Your life is out of control. You're all over the place. Your life is crooked. You can't see your way. You ain't got no purpose. It's a sign. It's a sign that it's time to let Jesus have the wheel of your life. And so today, I want to call you. I don't know. Somebody may have come today, and you're visiting. You're here for this weekend, and your life has been all over the place. You're not driving straight. You're trying to be in control. You're trying to do your own thing. It's time to just surrender to Jesus Christ today. And you want to say yes. I want to turn my life over to Him. Would you just raise your hand for the first time? You're not a member of any church. You're not a member of any church. But you just want to say yes, Lord. I want to give you my life today. I want you to be in control. I want you, Lord, to begin to rebuild my life with your word. And I'm just saying amen to you today. I'm coming into agreement with you today. Somebody today want to say yes. My second appeal, you know, yes, you've been walking with the Lord for a while, just like the children of Israel. You know about God. You've been walking with Him. But every now and again, you've been veering off the beaten path. Every now and again, you find yourself in the ditch, and you recognize that today, maybe this past week, you've been driving and bumping into some things, bumping into other people, bumping into situations, and you just need to give that wheel to Jesus, because you know you've had your hands on that wheel, but you need to let go today, and you want to surrender to Him all over again. I'm going to invite you to stand with me right now. You're saying, God, yeah, I've been walking with the Lord, but every now and again, I need to remember who's really in charge. I need to remember who's the only one who can make it happen for me. And you're saying yes. You're saying, God, help me get back in charge. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Father God, today, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, God, for being the amen, the one who's able to make it happen in our lives. God, we cannot do it without you. And so we invite you again as we stand in recommitment and rededication to you right now. God, we pray that you will take the wheels. Have your way, God, and let it be in our lives. Build us up where we are torn down. Heal us where we're broken. Mend us where we have been wounded, oh God. Pour into our souls, into those cracked places of our lives, that spiritual mortar which is able to bind us, which is able to mend us, which is able to make us strong again. We thank you, God, for hearing and for answering this prayer. And now, as we prepare to go into this community to touch others with the good news, God, go with us, protect us, keep us, God, and bless, we pray, the materials, the steps to Christ, the candy, the invitations, all that we have in our hands, we offer to you today. May it be light to somebody who's in darkness. May it be sweetness to somebody who has a sour life. May it be salvation to somebody who's lost. May it be grace to somebody who's trapped in sin. May it be a way out for somebody who can't find their way. God, help us to realize that we're ambassadors, bearers of good news. Bless us as we go out. Put a smile on our face, a joy in our heart, a pep in our step. We bless you today, God. And we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege and the honor to represent you. Now keep us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord for a moment of meditation. Until I die. We're going to have a benediction. Oh Lord, and after the benediction, we're going to invite those of you who are going to be going out with our young people.